Things I learned about my husband that made me a better wife. I saw this list and I sent it. I put it at the top of the email, you noticed, yeah. Carolyn, because I thought, wow, this is good stuff. Because I have had failed relationships and even a failed marriage where my love was deep. And I thought I was showing my love.
You meant well.
I meant well. Honestly, I did.
You said what you did with good intentions.
But now I realize those people that I was with didn't get how deep my love was because they didn't understand my ways of showing love.
That must have hurt.
Well, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I learned that just in time to meet Jackie. Aww. So it's all fine, right? But yeah, like for example, sometimes guys were fixers.
Right.
You know, and women many times, I've learned, don't want it to get fixed. They just want to talk about it.
Well, and
they want to get it out there and maybe figure it out on their own with some help.
Well, and I guess when men try to fix, what the message that can be is like, I'm smarter than you. I know what you should do. If the situation was that easy, women are also intelligent. Mm. And if it was that easy, they could fix it themselves. What they really want to do is be heard. Mm. But I think when a woman is saying something, talking about a problem at work or with a family member and is really stressed by it, when the man is offering suggestions and trying to fix it, what he's really saying is, it hurts me to see you in this distress. I don't like it to see that you sort of uncomfortable and not, and I want to do what I can to get you out of that feeling. I want you to feel better, and I'm going to, and sometimes it feels like a shortcut, and shortcuts don't actually work that well in relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something to relieve you of your distress because I care about you. And so it's actually an act of love if you can sort of decode the message behind the fixing.
Yeah. I think too, money's another one, right?
Okay.
Guys go, oh, well, of course I love you. Look at how hard I work and I pay all the bills.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's another one, right?
Well, there's one movie where there's this, it's one of those animated cartoon movies where this guy has a transponder that he puts on the dog. And when the dog barks, the transponder translates the bark into English so that he can know what his dog is saying. And at some point towards the end of the movie, the transponder bounces off the dog and lands on his dad. And so he can hear all the criticism of his dad. He can hear it translated for him. So when his dad is saying, I think it's going to be a failure, you shouldn't try that, what he's really saying is, I don't want you to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And so if you could play it safe so that I don't have to see you, you know, be disappointed, I'd appreciate that.
Right.
That often when men and women, we talk in code. So a man can say for sure, I am working super hard for you. You can see how dedicated I am by the fact that I'm at work 80 hours this week. Mm. That shows you how important you are to me. Yeah. And the woman can kind of shrug her shoulders and like, I don't get it. The fact that you're never home means that you're committed to me.
Right.
On the surface, it doesn't make sense. But if you can understand what's going on underneath, there's a level at which it does.
Yeah. So maybe I got us off track with our examples there, but things I learned about my husband that made me a better wife. Give me some examples.
Okay. So another one that is here, and some of these are sort of some general patterns. For some couples will find themselves reversed where it's the woman that is fixing things and the man that just wants to be heard.
So, because often the woman is the caregiver or the whatever.
Right. Another one that is listed here is he needs time to process and think during our conversations. That sometimes when a husband is silent, it can be a cue to the spouse that he doesn't care. He's tuned out. He's thinking about sports. What I'm saying doesn't matter. And what often is happening is there is so much going on inside that it takes some time to process it. And he needs a really long time to, and our culture doesn't always give men permission to process their emotions and their thoughts and integrate them and put them together. And so if men aren't as good about thinking about their feelings and describing what they're feeling, it takes a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that nothing is happening. It's that so much is happening. It's going to take a while for it to come out.
Mm-hmm. I think some of these work for both sexes. It's just not always, you know, not everybody
Absolutely.
Is the same, male,
it goes
female,
back and
whatever.
Forth.
It definitely goes back and forth. But lots of times, you know, you'll be engaged in that heavy conversation and one person will walk away and you think, well, they don't care. They're walking away, but they are walking away to figure it out, collect their thoughts and all that kind of stuff.
Or else they're walking away because the alternative is to explode,
right.
And they know that that's not cool, and yeah. So they save everybody the trauma of the breakup, mm-hmm. An explosion, and so they walk away so that they can cool themselves down and think about what they want to say. It's really hard to integrate back into the conversation, but I think people need time to talk. I'm a professional talker, right? I listen and I talk, and that's sort of my wheelhouse. This is what I do for a living. So when my husband and I are going to have a conversation, he's very articulate and he's very capable. He's probably listening right now and chuckling. But we go for walks, because when you go for a walk, like I have kind of a 3-block rule where if I say something and he's quiet, I wait for 3 blocks. And then I'll say, this is a conversation. I was kind of hoping you'd say something back, and then he'll laugh and then he'll come up with something often. There's lots happening. I just have to be patient. And when we go for a walk, it's much easier for me to just kind of look at the houses and the trees and be patient and wait for whatever's going to come, because it really is important for me to wait. Yeah. What comes is really important.
That, by the way, right there, Carolyn, is the title of your next book, The 3-Block Rule. And then people are going to buy the book going, well, I got to figure out what this rule is, the 3-block rule. And then it's a great opening for a book all about the differences between men and women.
Okay, there you
10%.
Go.
10%. That's all I take. 10%.
That's your next book.
Yes.
10%.
10%. Oh, my next book's going to be 20. What else is on the list?
Okay. He tends to compartmentalize. There is a book that you can get. I think it's probably on Amazon. It's like, men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. And the whole idea is that men, you know, when you pour syrup on waffles, it goes into one square, and that's where it stays until it overflows and goes into another square. And women are like spaghetti, and you can't just pick up one strand. They're all kind of mushed together. And a lot of times when women are having conversations, it makes so much sense to say, and like last week when, and he's like, how does that relate? Because he's thinking about one thing. And so sometimes men and women, and it can go the other way, that a couple has to figure out how they're going to talk and how the other person sort of makes their points and tries to be heard, and what it takes to really connect with the other person. Do I have to keep it down to one thing, or should I, can I expand? What is going to be helpful in order to be able to have that other person understand me and have us move this conversation forward?
Yeah. I smile often when we talk. It's radio, so people can't see this. Yeah. I smile because I instantly go to moments in my own life where I go, oh yeah, that's a good example.
Like yesterday at supper.
Right. That's that. Yeah. We're almost out of time, but give us one or two more quick ones.
Okay. The other one is, he considers sitting side by side watching sports or doing other activities together without any conversation as quality time together. Many people think of, it's not quality time unless we're actually sitting across from the table, looking deeply into each other's eyes, having conversation. But just hanging out, doing your own thing in the same room is often very meaningful to a guy. And so you think, I don't get to spend any time with him having these conversations. He's thinking like, oh, it was so good to be able to spend the evening together while we each read our book, right? And I think we need to understand what different things mean to each other. And we have to have those conversations, because otherwise, how do we know what is meaningful to him, and that there are ways in which he is finding valuable connection time with you in a way that you might not be recognizing.